I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. In a special offer for F3 Nation PAX members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. All right, we got a couple of familiar faces, really great leaders, not just within F3, but in the community here in Omaha. So I'm excited to get these guys. We actually have two guests on the show, which is, I don't know if this is a first or maybe a second for us, but definitely not.
I think it's a fair, typically it's a first what we're, for us today.
Well, we've had, I think we had Dread and Dark Helmet, and then we had a couple guys for F3 Foundation, but this will be the first duo SiteQ pair that we've interviewed at the same time, which is great because this sort of co-Q is a sort of a trending phenomenon, right? So we've got S'mores and Clark Kent on the show with us today. And guys, I would love it if you would just start with kind of your EH journey, kind of what was the first workout like, and then how'd you get your names?
All right. So my journey is a long journey. I've known Hard Hat for, gosh, almost two decades now. And it was about, I'd say 5-6 years ago, he came to me and he's like, hey, you want to try working out this F3 thing? I'm like, no, it's a cult. It's like, I'm not going to do it. And then he kept showing me Damon Ramos, and I'm like, oh, I know that. You know, I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So it took him about, I don't know, 4 years to get me to show up. And then my first workout was at Dragon's Lair with a Speed Square led workout, a coupon workout. And holy cow, it beat me up pretty bad. But that is basically my journey with Hard Hat, constantly pushing and pushing, and finally got me to come up.
What made you think it was a cult? Did you see the flags or you just
the funny names? I watched Hard Hat call different exercises funny name exercises, and just a bunch of group of guys getting together at 5:30 in the morning wearing all black running around. There's something kind of goofy about it.
How did it feel when you get in there? Did it feel like a cult?
It was great. And just how welcoming everyone was, because I remember I pulled up and I got to the workout a little bit early. Actually, the funny thing is, I actually took a shower before I went to the workout because I wanted to, I don't know why, but I felt like my appearance had to be great when I showed up. And now I'm lucky to brush my teeth out at the time. So I got there about, I don't know, 10 minutes early, and Hard Hat was running late. I called him. I was like, hey, dude, are you almost free? He's like, dude, they're not going to bite. Just go talk to them. And so I'm like, all right. So I get out, I walk up, and everybody was extremely welcoming. It was great.
I love it. What about the name? How'd you get the name S'mores?
You know, the funny thing is, I hate s'mores. Absolutely hate them. My wife knows I hate them. They're sticky. They're
gooey. Who hates s'mores?
And I do. I can't stand it. But I love the name. It fits. But I going through hobbies. I have a campsite, permanent campsite. I have a boat. I'm on the water all the time. And somebody yelled out motorboat, but it was already taken. So that Speed Square yelled out, oh, s'mores, and it just kind of stuck.
Nice. All right, Clark King, you're up, buddy.
Yeah, so S'mores, the reason he thought it was a cult was because he thought that at the end of the workout, when everybody got together, that they were actually drinking Kool-Aid and not coffee. He didn't know where that was going to lead, so that's why it took him 4 years to come out and join. Yeah, my journey to get to F3 was a lot quicker. So I guess you could say it was longer in that I've known S'more, you know, like more than a decade. We're neighbors. He just lives down the street from me. And, you know, our families are friends, our wives are friends, kids similar age. We've got boys in the same grade who have grown up together somewhat. You know, maybe a couple of years before he went out for the first time, which would have been in the fall of 2022. So a couple of years before that, like he's telling me, it might have been like around COVID times when, you know, the gym shut down and everybody's like rushing to buy, you know, home gym equipment. And we were doing that here. And I think he said something like, hey, there's this thing we should go try. Like these guys, they get together at 5 a.m. and they work out and they run up and down hills. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not even sure that I believed him the first time. Like, I think you're just full of it. He's like, no, I know these guys. I work with the guy who does this. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. You know, I'm up for it. Like I work out, you know, it's not going to be some huge leap to go out and do a workout in the morning. Like I'm ready. Just tell me when. And, you know, months and months and months go by and we still have not done it. And then one day he just told me, hey, I went to F3 this morning. I'm like, I thought you were going to call me. Like, you know, you were supposed to call me and I was going to go with you. But he, you know, to his credit, like needed to screen it first and see what it was like. So it was 3 days later. If you went on Saturday at the Dragon's Lair, then I went on Wednesday at the Dune. And I don't really remember that much about the first workout. I think it was just a standard Wednesday workout. I mean, I'm sure it beat me up. You know, whatever you do, it's different than what was my routine. So it was tough. They're always tough, almost always tough. We could talk about some that haven't been tough, but it's a different, probably different podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my name because, you know, immediately they're like, hey, what do you do? And some of the guys knew what I do. Because I'm a sports writer and, you know, I've worked in the Omaha media market for almost 30 years. And so Unicycle was like, you know, you work for a newspaper? And I'm like, well, no, not anymore. He's like, Clark Kent. So, okay. Yeah, that sticks. I like it. I mean, I can be Superman's alter ego. And that's where it came from.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you guys ended up with good names, right? A lot better than it could have been, right? Some guys don't like their names, but
what we know, almost named somebody, right? Yesterday, we had Wednesday this week, we named somebody, got named, and yeah, you often hear names that get thrown out that are nothing like what I would want to have stuck to me every day. Okay. I go out in the morning, but no, ours are good.
Yeah, for sure. So S'mores, you started a coupon workout with Speed Square, which I imagine was brutal. And then, you know, Clark Kent, you mentioned it. So I would just love to kind of riff on like first F kind of fitness. Like what did you guys think and how did you sort of navigate through the different AOs and different types of workouts?
Well, it was easy for navigating because we just basically searched what's closest to our house. Because one thing about Clark Kent and I, we're not many people. I would assume, I think we're two intelligent guys, but anybody in F3 that we talked to before 8 a.m. probably would argue with that. I mean, gosh, some of my favorite times at F3 are...
That's for sure.
Counting stuff. But some of my favorite times at F3 are actually on the ride to the beatdown with Clark. You guys know, Clark and I, we ride together almost every morning. And the conversations we have are extremely interesting.
It's usually the same conversation.
It's usually the same. That's, yeah, our conversations, we have the same conversation multiple times without realizing. I've run stop signs in the morning with cops on the corner. We've blown by AOs and had to turn around and go back.
Mm-hmm.
Hell.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Once
it's
we
true.
Showed up to a workout early, watched the guy stretch, jog, and throw a coupon around for about 10 to 12 minutes before we realized the beatdown started at 5:15.
We were 15 minutes late.
Yeah. Oh. So the best thing for us, yeah, so in navigating through AOs, we just kind of picked the ones closest to our house.
Now, before F3, were you guys working out together?
No,
before
no, not no. at all.
Uh-uh. But we have done some of that, even, you know, even since we joined, like even since we started doing F3, where if there was a Sunday or something where we wanted to get in a workout, or it was a holiday and we were out of town and needed to catch up, like, you know, he's run up the hill to my house and we just had a impromptu beat down there in the garage running down the street. And some of our neighbors think we're really weird when they see that. And like, we've tried to get some of the guys, like there's a bunch of guys on our street who we hang out with, families hang out, or we play fantasy football with. And we've tried to get a few of them. Some of them we've purposely not tried to get to come out to F3, but others we have tried.
You're welcome.
They're like, is that what you guys are doing when you're like running down to the stop sign and back? And we're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, no thanks. You know, Schmorse talks about our conversations in the morning. So usually when one of us picks up the other, it's like, what are we doing? I wish that I was still sleeping, some version of that, or you should have texted me this. I was hoping I would wake up this morning and you texted me to tell me that, you know, you couldn't go today. So for me, and maybe I think Schmorse is the same way, like the hardest thing to do is to get out of bed.
Sure.
And, you know, that kind of applies to a lot of things in life. Like the hardest thing to do is just make yourself get started. So like if I can get out of bed and take that first step and, you know, put on my gear and just turn on the light, like make it that far, then everything, no matter how hard the workout is, 99% of the time, I have climbed the biggest hill at that point. But still, like when we get in the car, it's like, why are we doing this at five in the morning or 4:40 in the morning?
Yeah. Well, that's so awesome that you guys have each other to, I mean, you guys are essentially holding each other accountable. And for mm-hmm. most guys, it's not in such direct and close proximity, right? It's not usually a neighborhood guy that's there that's willing to go every single day. They're finding that accountability with other guys in the group who may be elsewhere. You know, you guys may not want to admit on the podcast, but, you know, I am curious, has either one of you said, screw it, I'm done, and then the other one pulled them back?
No, actually, it's not never yet. Come up.
Interesting.
I mean, on a specific day, yes.
Sure.
Yeah,
no, some morning. Thankfully, a lot of the breakfast restaurants don't open till 6, because if they mm-hmm. open at 5:30, our attendance might be down a little.
Yeah, once you're up, it'd be like, where are we going to go? Right, there's nowhere mm-hmm. we can go.
Well, we talked about it. Like, let's just go to First Watch and skip this workout. And like, fortunately, usually like only one of us is serious about that, and the other one's like, nah, we're here, we're in the car, let's go. So yeah. we make it.
What, I'm curious if you've noticed just, so I guess, you know, if you've been doing F3, because you both have been in for a couple of years now, right? So if anything, do you feel like you've noticed some improvements kind of in that fitness realm? Do you feel like you've gained, you know, maybe muscle or speed or been able to maintain a healthy sort of first F?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, when I was younger, I ran track and ran the 800, but my son was getting into track and I couldn't keep up. And I was like, dude, I'm in my 40s now. I can still run a 6.5 minute mile, no problem. I got one lap done and I was just exhausted. Heart's beating. I can't breathe. I just want to lay down. And then now miles, you know, I don't think I'm sub 6 minutes yet, but probably never be at my age, but no, I definitely see an improvement. I mean, stronger, look better. No, yeah, it's really helped.
Yeah, I'm envious because I'm not really a runner. And what it's done for me, and I mean, I was active in like trying to stay fit and in working out at the, you know, in the, going to the gym, having a gym membership, or, you know, in like the 2020, 2021 times working out at home, you know, bought some fitness equipment for home. And that's still like an important part of my fitness regimen. But two things, like one, the accountability, like that's just not there if you're doing it on your own. And part of holding each other accountable is in like also motivating each other within the workout. So it's one thing to hold somebody accountable just so that they show up in the morning. But then you also hold them accountable like during the workout. Like, I mean, if we're the other day, we were doing a 3-man grinder on the football field at the Dune. And, you know, there's a temptation if I'm doing it myself, probably to just kind of slow down in the jogging portion of that, at least for me, because like running is just, it doesn't work well for, you know, I can do it, but I'm never going to choose to do that if it's just up to me. But if you're running alongside a guy and, you know, anybody, I mean, there's accountability with s'mores when we talk about going to the workout, but then it becomes accountability with 16 other guys when you're out there on the, you know, on the turf or on the track or in the streets. You know, that part of it, it's, that's definitely impacted my, you know, my from a motivational side. Yeah, the diversity in the workouts too. Like, it's easy to get into a rut if you're doing things on your own. And so with F3, it's generally something different every day. You can go 5 days and do five completely different workouts, which is obviously beneficial for your body to mix it up, to keep shocking the systems. That's all a benefit. And just staying active. Like, I mean, there's no way that I'm going to be out in 20 degree weather if it's, you know, running, if it's not for this. And, you know, like, we can talk too about the site that we led for a year at the Boundary Line for probably 6 months after we started doing F3, the two of us, you know, that site was there, and the Boundary Line is 6 blocks from our neighborhood, but we kind of avoided it because we weren't sure about whether we wanted to do a Murph. You know, it looked like we didn't want to do a Murph when we saw what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And finally we went. I don't remember what the push was to actually just go do it, probably because it was so close. Maybe we were running late one day and it's like, hey, let's just go check out that Murph. And we did it. And you know, that's another thing where that's just not something that I'm going to be doing, running 2 miles and doing 100 pull-ups and all of that on a regular basis. And we went and did it for a year, every single week.
Mm-hmm.
That's been great for the whole, you know, just progressing in fitness. And I turned 50 a couple months ago. So, you know, it's as much just trying to maintain and keep up and not let your body break down as it is like continuing to try to, you know, break new boundaries. Like, I feel like I'm breaking boundaries if I'm just like maintaining and staying the same on some days. And that's fine too.
Yeah, I love it. I was going to ask about the Murph, sort of how long it took you to get into that. But, and it, you know, it's interesting, like, you know, like you said, once you get up out of bed, you get in the car, you get there, then you start the workout, and it's just sort of like, well, I guess we don't have a choice now, right? And so you know, before you know it, you've ran 2 miles yeah. and you've got 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300.
Mm-hmm.
I would be curious, you mentioned accountability, and interestingly enough, this morning at Combine, that was our Q source topic. And so I would just be curious, like, you know, as you think about the second F and some of the, you know, fellowship or different layers of accountability that come along with that, you know, for the two of you, like, how did you go about sort of branching out or maybe pulling in some of those guys that you mentioned from the video, some more that you're like, well, I know that guy. How did you kind of reconnect, build those relationships?
You know, it's the coffee afterwards. I think that's probably one of my favorite parts of F3 is just sitting down with the guys. I mean, a lot of these 5:15 sites, you know, that's an extra 15 minutes of coffee with these guys too. And so I love Friday workouts. And that's how I reconnected with a lot of these people, is just sitting there and having that conversation.
Yeah, that's probably been the biggest part that's probably surprised me the most about the whole thing. I mean, once we got into it and I'd been going for a couple of weeks, you kind of had a pretty good sense of like what the fitness part would be like. I mean, occasionally there's a workout that still shocks you or throws you for a loop. We did that one last fall, s'mores, at the Oracle with Minnow, another one of our neighbors, lives right down the street. I'm like right in the middle between s'mores and Minnow. And
I'll never forget about that one.
Yeah, he took us on a set of up the big giant hill at Boys Town with burpees at the top. It was brutal, and like everybody was gassed. I mean, the most fit guys in the group, the young guys in their 20s, you know, they were hands on their knees. So occasionally, and by the way, the cue, he had no idea what he was doing. Like he didn't realize he did that before he cued it, and he did not know that he was getting us into that kind of trouble. But which is fine, and like it's good to get dealt a surprise sometimes, even if it's really, really hard. But for the most part, there weren't like a tremendous amount of surprises on the fitness side. For me, what surprised me the most as I got into it, you know, months in, was that fellowship part. And you know, I'd consider myself somebody who knew a lot of people in the community, just because my work, like a lot of people see me or hear me and sometimes think they know me when I don't really know them. And that's fine. Like I need to be like that with my job, but like it was that on like overload with F3. And then, it's different than if I see somebody at the grocery store or at a basketball game who comes up to me and says, hey, I read your stories or I listen to your podcast. That's great, Mitch. And then I don't see him again ever or for 3 months. Where if I have that kind of an encounter in F3, then I can talk to the guy for the next 10 minutes, you know, while we're out of breath and, you know, doing some ridiculous exercise. And then we go to coffee at the end. And then like the next week or 2 days later, I see him again. And, you know, there's a friendship there. And then that continues. And then, you know, you make more of a network. So that's the part that I don't know that I really expected in this, because like all my fitness in the past had really just been, like I said, individual. And there wasn't necessarily like a, you know, a networking or fellowship aspect to it. And that with F3 has been just as significant, just as important and meaningful as the fitness part.
You know, to add on to that too, with the men at F3, I really appreciate them. It truly amazes me how everyone has each other's back. What's even crazier to me is that with such a large group, I've never seen anyone really argue or bicker over anything.
Yeah.
It's like there's this unspoken respect and brotherhood that just works. You know, I think that's rare. I'm really grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And yeah, there's so many reasons why we could.
I'm sitting here thinking, and I can't think of the time that's ever happened.
Yeah.
What be curious, I mean, you know, you're talking about the other guys, but you guys came in kind of a unique situation where you both know each other prior to joining. Would be curious how your relationship has blossomed or kind of transformed since joining this group or doing this thing.
Well, I mean, I'd probably just say like in certain times of year, you know, whatever, various parts of life, like you can get busy and separated from people where you don't see somebody for a month or a week, even if, you know, you're related or good friends or whatever. And there's times like that, you know, that can happen with your friend down the street. But if you've got that, we know that, hey, at 5 o'clock on Monday morning and Wednesday morning, whatever, like you're going to be out in my driveway. Yeah. It allows you to stay more connected and just stay more, it's more than just accountability. Yeah. It's a friendship. And we might go a week and not see each other in any other area because we're busy with different parts of our lives, but we're not, if I wasn't working out at 5:30 in the morning, I'd probably be sleeping. So it's not really taking away from something else. And there's not an excuse. I'm not too busy to get up and work out and get in the car and go have coffee at 5 a.m. So it's just always there. And that's great.
I love that. You know, it's interesting because we talked to a lot of guys, right? That like they join and they reconnect. And for you guys, like you joined around the same time and then basically have been able to like avoid that, you know, sort of separation that naturally occurs, right? Which is cool. Just keeping those connections there.
Hey, Gloom listeners, it's the Plague. Question for you. Are you ready to perform at your peak? Well, our man P Soup and the Apex Men's Clinic is here to help you achieve optimal health. Whether it's managing general health concerns, recovering from injuries, or optimizing your hormones, they have you covered. Their comprehensive services include testosterone replacement therapy, cutting-edge treatments, and personalized care plans tailored just for you. At Apex Men's Clinic, you're not just another number. Their expert team is dedicated to helping you feel your best. Visit apexmensclinic.com today to schedule a free consultation. At Apex Men's Clinic, it's men's health done right.
I'm curious, S'mores, has it been annoying to have like your buddy be sort of like a famous personality or, you know, you know, that guy, or how's that been?
It's hard to be in part of his entourage.
Yeah.
We go places and he mm-hmm. just gets swarmed by groupies and, you know, I pick up the slack at the end and no, it's fine. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely my most favorite or famous friend.
Yeah. Well, and I guess for you, Clark Kent, I would be curious what happens, at least to me, you know, guys know we do this podcast and then we're friends. So I get a lot of really honest feedback about things like audio quality or, you know, I listen to this guy and you should have asked him about this sort of thing. But, you know, with your content, you might provoke a little more emotions in some of the guys. You ever get any feedback or have any banter there? That's been valuable.
Yeah, there's lots of feedback, but it's generally all positive. I mean, I think that's something that F3 brings out. It's like what's more said a few minutes ago about how you just don't generally get disagreements on stuff. Like, I mean, I know that there's guys that I'm standing next to in a circle or working out with or running with, like, that if we started talking about politics or whatever it might be, like, probably not on the same page. I mean, there's some certainly that we would be, but I mean, the world today is a crazy place. And when it's dark outside and you're sweating, like, none of that matters. And I think that's great. And we, you know, it's the same thing with my work. It's not like I cover, like, I'm not writing, you know, crime stories or political coverage. So I don't know in the state of Nebraska with what I do, if there's all that many people that disagree with me. You know, maybe sometimes if it's a, you know, things can certainly get controversial in the world of sports, in the world of college football. But I think most people probably see eye to eye with the way that what my vision is for things in my work. And I've never, like, come across somebody at a workout or you know, getting coffee where they're like, "Hey man, that was a terrible take that you had there on Tuesday. Like, you got to take that back, or I'm going to, you know." No, like, it's, I mean, F3, it unifies people. It brings people together. It bridges the differences that we have. And I think that extends to our professional lives too.
Anybody listening to this podcast, can you please go to Mitch next time you see him at coffee and complain about his podcast?
Yeah,
I was just complaining about an article that I write. Like, I'm not opposed to having to arguing with you about football while we're out in the gloom.
I can name 10 people that are going to bug you now after listening to this podcast.
It's fine.
I love it. I other sort of things in the second half space, right, would be like shield locks or maybe Q-source, or would also love to get your take sort of on things like Concentrica or how F3 has maybe impacted your families, your wives, maybe some of those relationships.
Well, I'll talk about my wife. My wife was actually pretty jealous of F3 for a long time. And then I finally found out about Fiat. So my wife started going to Fiat, and same thing with, like, she showed up to the first one, felt it out, find out it was okay, then invited Clark Kent's wife to go with her. So now they go every morning. So they start a little bit earlier than us. So they're picking each other up, and then shortly after, we're picking each other up and headed to one.
Because they have farther to drive, since there's not as many sites.
Yeah.
That's got to be an experience. What's that been like, sort of having your, like, do you have, like if you guys have dinner, is there sort of like, well, we do this in F3 and we do this in
FIA? No, it's a lot of conversation about FIA and F3 when we get together. It's quite
a
lot.
Yeah, or like, even traveling together. Like, you know, we've taken vacations together as couples, and yeah, we could be on the beach in Jamaica, or, you know, going to a show in Chicago, and we're talking about F3 and FIA in Omaha, which is, I don't know, I guess it's cool. It seems like a lot, but if it's something that like you feel strongly about and that helps you in any way in your life, then, you know, it's great to embrace it. And we share workouts, things like that. Like, we'll see the girls have got a whiteboard that they wrote a workout down on, and it's a smaller group with them, so they tend to have to cue more often than we do. So they're coming up with new workouts all the time, and I'm not opposed to just, like, ripping a workout from what the FIA group does and, like, bringing it over to F3, maybe modify it a little bit to suit the needs of our group. But we've done that a few times. Yeah, that's been like another extra unexpected benefit on that second F side for sure, is you know, being able to share in some of that. I have, like, a love-hate relationship with the CSOP, just because we, you know, we went last year because it was in Gretna, and we're in Gretna, or the Gretna area, and, like, we couldn't not go because it was, you know, they basically ran by our house during some of the portions of it. But man, it was January, and I'm like more resistant, like my physiology, my biology, I think, is more resistant to the freezing cold weather as I get older. Like, my bones hurt if I'm out there and it's 6 degrees, and that was a really, really cold day. I wish we could have, like, a second CSOP and have it in like April. But no, I mean, the fellowship part of that is great. Went to the dinner in downtown Gretna the night before. And like we, around that event, some of us who are in the Gretna area, we raised some money for the Gretna basketball coach who had passed away around that time, like right around that time. It was within weeks of when CSOP was held. You know, that was a fantastic thing to be able to contribute to. So that goes beyond, way beyond just the F3 group, the something we were able to do to impact the community. You know, that's another unexpected part of this that I'd never had any idea that we were walking into when we, you know, went out there and 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, well, be, you know, we do that CSOP in January, and then we do our anniversary in April. And I think we're looking at maybe another
convergence
sort of CSOP, right? That we might do, because I'm with you. We need a warmer, you know, CSOP.
I guess it's not completely stupid and utterly pointless if the weather's nice. It could only be like somewhat pointless.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, that's it.
Or relatively stupid and somewhat pointless.
You have to change the
acronym. I'm trying to think what I would want to do more: stand outside in sub-zero weather or in August when it's 120 with 100% humidity.
That's why it's five. That's why you do it at 5 a.m. It's not that hot then. Although last year I did the 1776 workout. I think S'mores was missing for that one. You were out of town, and you know both of us travel for our jobs a decent amount. So like, you know, it's harder to get that accountability when he's not in town. But we've definitely both had a lot of instances where we have gone to workouts on our own. And like I'll even tell you about another aspect of F3 for me that's been fun to discover is the downrange workouts. On 1776, yeah, I did that one at the steel mill, and that was also completely stupid and utterly pointless, just without the name. But it was fun. I'll do that again this year.
On those CSOPs,
downrange
code I found out this year was to actually just lead a workout. So you're just stuck there in one spot the way we did at the Canyon.
That'd be great.
So
Well, I don't know.
Sent off six
groups. You stayed at one place through the whole CSOP? Yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe that would be better. But the downrange stuff also has been enjoyable. And like I've met people in California and in Chicago. Like I did a workout on the beach in Carlsbad, California, summer of 24. And, you know, got up and drove 40 minutes from my brother and sister-in-law's house in North San Diego, through the hills, and end up getting dumped out on a little beach road and had no idea. The thing about doing them on the road is you really have no idea what you're going to find. Like if it's going to be an organized group that does all of the traditions that we do in Omaha, or if it's, you know, just a ragtag bunch of guys who don't really know much about what F3 means, but they get together and work out. And I've had all the experiences in the different places that I've gone. I've been in Texas where we did burpees for 45 minutes in a church parking lot. And that was it. It was just, nice. It was just burpees the whole time. And running on the beach, doing the beach workout in Carlsbad was awesome. One of the most memorable of all the workouts I've done in F3 was there in Carlsbad, like running we did hydro burpees that workout.
Oh, so I've heard of those.
Can't do that. I don't know of any sites here that have that option.
I love it. S'mores, have you posted downrange when you've been out?
I have posted in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Interesting beat down. I got started as I'm running with one of the guys. We start talking, and I find out he's an oncologist for Common Spirit Health, who I work for. And I was actually meeting him later that day no idea.
Wow.
So it was interesting.
I love it. It's so cool. And I think there is sort of, you know, within the fellowship, right? You go to a different location and some of the things are different, but ultimately the being able to quickly form a relationship with another man is the same, right? For the most part, the guys are all there for the same reasons and you all decide to get up at a, you know, ridiculously early time. And so that's kind of cool. There's some fellowship.
And I feel like those groups are all trying to find some sense of identity for themselves, right? We're this sector, we're this region, whatever we are. I am curious, in your travels, has there been one where you think is most akin to what we see here in Omaha?
Yeah. The workout in California, there was a flag. They said the core principles. We did the beat down. got together at the end. There was fellowship at the end. So instead of going to coffee, and I don't think it's like this at all of the workouts there, and it's F3 North San Diego. But this particular one, because it was on the beach, so there, I don't think there was any kind of coffee served. We got together in the parking lot after the Circle of Trust, and some of the guys said, "Hey, you want to go out and their version of coffee was to go body surf in the waves that were coming in."
That's cool.
So I was like, "Yeah, I'm here. Like, let's do it. Absolutely." So, some of them, it was a smaller group, maybe six guys. Some of them had some like surfing equipment, not boards, but like wetsuits and various other instruments. And I just took off my shirt and ran out in the waves and took off my shoes. And I think the shoes were already off. We were working out in the sand. And that was a more difficult beat down. It was a hard workout in the sand, but that was more difficult to get crushed by these big waves coming in for 30 minutes. But we had a good time. I mean, the other ones that I've been to have been a little bit less like Omaha. Like, they didn't tape the Namorama, or they didn't have a Namorama, or there were no flags, or there was no attempt to explain what it was at the beginning. But I mean, I think it takes all kinds, and like, I'm just glad that other people in other communities have the opportunity that we do.
That was a lot like Chattanooga. Showed up to the beat down. We got started right at 5:30, and about 38 minutes into the workout, I'm like, "Well, are we going to head back to the flags?" No, because they work out for the full 45 minutes. Yeah. And then you get back, it's a quick announcement, quick parade out, and you're gone. But same thing, no mission statement, no core values or anything like that, but it was a full 45 minutes. So it's not, I don't think it's as organized as what F3 Omaha is.
It does make you appreciate what we have.
I think we're pretty unique here.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think there has been some talk, right, of like, you know, our workout, like if you're tracking just beat down time, right, you're around 30 to 35 minutes, I think, for most of our AOs.
That's so what the dad and nerds out there that he's throwing out.
Yeah, I've seen some chatter there, but no, I love it. And I think it's cool that you've had an opportunity to go down range. I am curious, you know, as you think about kind of this like third F piece, right, the faith piece, your kind of faith journeys. I know a lot of this, right, you guys have kind of been on the same journey, but would kind of love to hear about faith or third F from kind of your individual perspectives, like your kind of what's been your background or relationship with faith.
I could start that. My faith is kind of a different path. I've always had a love-hate relationship with faith. I was raised in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church and spent most of my childhood in the church. But as I got older, I started questioning my faith and eventually stepped away. You know, once you hit that 16, 17-year-old age, kind of stepped away. And then about my late 20s, I met my wife, and she introduced me to a more contemporary style Lutheran church. So we started going, and we actually started going to church on Saturday nights and then grabbing dinner afterwards.
Nice.
We went to Kuntz Memorial, which is a Lutheran church downtown Omaha. Gorgeous church. But then my mom was diagnosed with early dementia and passed away. So she died before her 62nd birthday. You know, I kind of struggled with that, and I questioned how God could let that happen. And it honestly, it shook me. So, and then I started kind of, you know, going back to my ways it was, but over time through F3 and watching my kids go through confirmation now, I've come to the realization that I do believe in a higher power. I've also realized that I don't have to believe everything religion tells me to, but having faith, believing in the guys of F3 and knowing there's something bigger than myself, that actually gives me peace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I wonder if you, I don't know if you would care to unpack, but I think what I love about what you just shared is the fact that you kind of kept wrestling and searching. And then, you know, you didn't just say, "Well, I'm not going to believe in anything." You kind of kept exploring, like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, what is it that I believe in? But what was that process like? Like, what would you say to a guy that maybe has gone through a loss like that, that is sort of finding himself?
There's got to be a higher power out there, right? I mean, anyway, you look at it, and it's a lot of, man, I see a guy that's struggling. I mean, the guys that pray it out, if you ever go to any of my beatdowns at IQ, I'll call on Vlasic, I'll call on Unicycle to pray us out, because what they pray just, it hits home. And that has just really helped me out with my faith. of what those guys say.
Love it.
Yeah, I think it's so cool just to hear, for guys to know. I love what you said about, you know, I don't have to believe everything that religion tells me, because I think that's where a lot of guys get kind of tripped up, and then it's like, well, if it's either this or that, I'm gonna sort of go my own way. And I think at least for me, it's like what you said. I've got to put some trust and faith in something, right, that's greater than me, right? If I'm the center of the world, we're all doomed. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to kind of explore what that might mean. You know, I think, and I love that.
I think another thing he's saying here that I think is important to focus on is gathering or reinforcing your faith through what you're observing outside of the realm of the church, right? That is a very strict building that you're in, and it can be very difficult at times to see how religion is working in your life or how your faith is working, but to see it through your kids' confirmation, to say, hey, I see it in the guys in the circle. Those are just other avenues to help you kind of explore that piece. So I think that's like really well said, and guys should be focusing on those things.
Yeah. Clark Kent, what about you?
Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm proud of you, S'mores. Like, S'mores is usually not one to share a ton about his faith journey. You inspired me to open up here. I was just going to give a generic answer about like how one thing I really like about F3, and I'll still do this, but I'll go more in depth about what my journey is too. What I was going to say is that one thing I like about F3, and when it comes to this part of it, is that I feel like F3 will meet you where you are in your faith journey. So, I mean, if it's something that you come into the group and you're like really far along and very spiritual, and you feel like you have a great connection with God, like, you know, that's fine. Like, you will find people who can support you on that. Or if you're more unsure, or, you know, if you're in the middle or whatever it might be, like, that's fine. You're not going to be an outsider. You're not going to be an albatross. Like, F3, the community is there to come to you. You don't have to go to them. So that's been beneficial for me. I mean, my situation, or my journey it's unlike, I don't know, just about anybody's. I know of one other PAX in Omaha who like has a similar background to me. So I was raised here in Omaha in the Jewish community, you know, grew up in the synagogue, you know, and that's what I knew. That's how I was raised. Went to college in Lincoln, met my wife, you know, small town girl from central Nebraska, never met a Jew in her life for sure. You know, met me and we got married in a joint ceremony in a Methodist church, but with clergy from both backgrounds. And like, I mean, we're like a walking, talking example of like how your faith and God will meet you where you are. And, you know, it led to decisions that we had to make, like how would we raise our kids? And our kids are raised here in Omaha in the Methodist community, and like have been confirmed. And my daughter's she'll be a freshman at Creighton next year. And I'm excited to see her on the Jesuit, in the Jesuit environment. My wife works at Creighton, and like, she talks about what it's like to, you know, to have that around her. And, you know, so for me, it's like the whole faith part of it is like just one is a big mishmash. And, you know, I didn't know, like, what's that going to be like when we started with F3, like what's that faith element? How's that going to work for me? Like, how's it going to work when I get into the circle of trust? And what I found is like, you know, you interpret the message how you wish. Like, I don't think that anybody should ever feel like, you know, they don't belong, you know, what their viewpoints are. Like, if it's not the same as the guy next to you, like, that's what, like, diversity is going to make us stronger as a group. So, you know, there is more diversity out there than I think sometimes we believe and we think. And for me, that's all very much a positive.
I love it. And I was trying to think of, I feel like Mr. Rogers may have a Jewish background.
He was my neighbor growing up. Mr. Rogers got S'mores. He got S'mores as my neighbor. Wait, now. Hold on.
Mr. Rogers was your neighbor.
Yeah, well, Mr. Rogers then, but
I get it now.
Jeff, Mr. Rogers, and I. Yeah, and when my wife Shannon and I, we got married in Lincoln and in 2001, and we moved up to the Gretna area about 4 years later, and our daughter was born right after that time. And we were, you know, just trying to meet people in Omaha, and I'm from Omaha. So it's like, well, I know people, but I haven't lived here. You know, I graduated high school in 1993. So it had been 12 years since I'd really spent time living here. And so like, well, and also like, let's meet people as adults. Like, I'm 30 instead of 18. And so we actually got connected with a group of interfaith couples, and Mr. Rogers, and his wife were part of that. You know, I knew him. I knew him. He was younger than me, but I knew him somewhat growing up because, like I said, we lived our houses backed up to each other for a period of years. But yeah, it's been cool. It's been cool to see him. And like we had a site swap s'mores with the Murph site. What was the Murph site where they don't run? There's no cardio in the Murph site.
Yeah, it's on Dodge
off 156th. Yeah.
Red Wings or Coronado?
Coronado. So we site swapped during our site run as the Qs at Coronado, and I ran into Mr. Rogers there, and we've seen him at the Oracle. So yeah, it's awesome to reconnect, and we definitely have some shared background there.
On a side note, for the Coronado, we also did a non-running Murph. So there
we did.
Really
it wasn't supposed to
us.
Be a Murph. Yeah, there's a Murph
so
site
they were really
there.
Happy with us.
Yeah, there's a Murph site there, and Mr. Rogers was part of that group that was doing the Murph, and then there's the Coronado, which was a bruiser friendly site, and we did a non-running Murph, and I think it was the hardest Murph. Like we do like pull-ups or something instead of running. Pull-ups are part of the Murph.
Climbers and
we just did other cardio for the and subbed it in for all the running. And at the
we
end
were
of
never
it,
asked that.
Yeah,
it's funny how like in the Murph you use the running as sort of like the break, right?
Yes.
I do not. That is not true. That is not accurate.
I love it. Well, that's, you know, I appreciate you sharing your faith and being open to sharing that. I do think there's opportunity for us to continue to, you know, engage. We just, you know, I think there's maybe a large Christian group, right, in Omaha, but I think for the most part, we do a decent job of welcoming other guys in. I just heard a COT from a guy this week who was sharing his Muslim faith, right? And so I think, you know, we're starting to see that. And so I think if we just continue to remember what you guys said, right? It's really like about the guy, just support the guy next to you, right? And mm-hmm. if conversations come up and you have an opportunity to talk about your specific beliefs, great, engage in that. But ultimately, there's a lot of value just from being a part of the group. So I appreciate you
part
guys
of just
sharing.
Education. I think just hearing how other people feel and what their beliefs are, what their backgrounds are, like that's helpful no matter where you find yourself.
For sure.
You kind of mentioned this, well, I think a good segue, right, as we're talking about the non-running Murph, but, you know, our mission, right, we want to invigorate male community leadership, and so being a site Q is kind of one of the ways we try to help promote that leadership development. I would be curious to hear your guys' thoughts on what was it like being site Qs at the boundary line. We'd love to hear about the co-Q sort of piece, and then I always like to get your thoughts on succession planning, too.
Yeah, we started reaching out to Bounty and Enterprise the next day after we got the flag. I'm just kidding.
The succession planning is fine.
No, we kind of took the site queue duties and kind of split it up. So Clark, just being a social media guru, he kind of handled everything social media. And to fill up the slack, I said, I will find the people that queue the site. That was a lot of fun for me reaching out because I never wanted anyone that had queued our site to queue it twice in our tenure that we were there. So we had a different site queue every week. And that just getting, you know, out there, that's 52 guys, right, that I had to reach out to and talk to. And I got to know a lot of really good people. So that was pretty fun. And we were able to get a lot of folks that usually don't make it out west because Clark and I will post out the steel mill on Thursdays a lot. Those SRP guys are a great group of dudes. Mm-hmm. But they don't venture out in our way very often. So again, pulling some of those guys up and just kind of taking the two groups and merging them together was kind of cool.
Yeah,
that
was good
experience.
Yeah, I'm with you on the part of bringing in people from outside of Southwest Omaha, you know, outside of the Gretna area to come queue the site. I mean, 52 weeks is a long stretch, so you can't just get by with you know, having this small group of guys that we see during the week, you're going to be doing lots of repeats. I've been practicing a Murph challenge of my own since the Murph challenge ended, which is to challenge myself not to do any Murphs for several months after we passed the flag. So I think I'm about at the successful end of my personal Murph challenge, and like right when the weather's just starting here, we're taping this on the end of January, like really quick here, starting to see some nice days. February is a short month. There's going to be some nice Mondays, and I'm going to get back out there and get on the Murph thing. But like, you know, it's not that it necessarily burned me out to do a Murph every week for 52 weeks. It was just like, I wanted something else after that. And that's why I think like the whole idea of doing it for a year is great. Like, I mean, if somebody was a site queue at the same place for, and I say, I'm sorry to Mr. Miyagi, cause he was the site queue at Dragon's Lair for 5 years.
Yeah.
If somebody was the site queue at one place for too long of a period of time, like that's not what we're doing here. Like we're, especially with a Murph where it's the same workout every week, but even if it's a site, like, you know, you generally you're going to see similar workouts at one site. Like there's having the ability to spread your wings and go to different places. Like with a couple times where we left the Boundary Line and did site swaps, like we did the Coronado one, we did a Mission Forge site swap where the Mission Forge guys came in and took over the Murph for 1 week and like didn't burn down the equipment that we use or anything like that, fortunately, but didn't get us in trouble with the school district. Those were good. Those were some highlights of the year that we had. I just think it was great to like cycle through. And you know, the funny thing is, it's like the Murph is not a place where you generally get a lot of FNGs. And yeah, we could count on one hand the number of FNGs. I mean, who comes to a Murph for their first workout? And if somebody does,
only suckers. Either man. Only suckers.
Either don't know what they're walking into, or it's like they're an MMA fighter. Yeah. Which we had happen. We did have that happen. I don't know if he was an FNG, but he came to work out with us as he was training for an MMA fight, which that was a highlight.
That's cool.
For sure of the year of being a site queue. I just kind of like the idea of having that additional accountability, that additional responsibility. Like, you know, it was like every week you were kind of on the queue because you had to be there no matter
what. Yeah. Well, I like this idea of adding some wrinkles or some flavor by doing some swaps, right? Encourage guys to do that. You know, curious about succession planning. Was it really the day after you were texting the guy?
No, it took a bit. So one thing we noticed, Enterprise would show up to our site every Monday. His wife bought him a shirt that said Mondays are for Murph. Mm-hmm. And he was showing up every week. And then eventually he started bringing a leaf blower and he'd blow off the site where we do pushups.
Nice.
And right there, as soon as he started doing that, we knew he was the guy.
He was stuck then. He was locked.
Yeah, he
in.
Was stuck. So we went to him and he ended up wanting to partner with Bounty.
Offer it as a CoQ thing, or were you like, hey, do you want it?
No, we originally went to Enterprise, but then Bounty would have been our second choice if Enterprise would have turned us down.
Yeah, he was unsure at first if he wanted to take on that responsibility. He's like, let me think about it. And then I think he came back and said that, well, I'll just kind of clean this up, but he kind of said that his wife told him that was something that he needed to do. Mm-hmm. And, and to stop thinking about it and to tell the guys yes. And you know, it was natural for him. I mean, him and Bounty were kind of like S'mores and me, in that, you know, they had that accountability thing going, and they would often go to workouts together, and they were actually part of a bigger group. There's a whole group of guys that are their age who are a few years younger than me, and like a couple years younger than S'mores, who, you know, had kids in school together and knew each other through their school and their church. And, yeah, Bounty and Enterprise were a part of that little gang, and so it made sense for them to be together and to take over the site together. Yeah, it was great. Like on the flag pass, like, you know, you go to flag passes and it just kind of becomes part of the routine, but then when you have it and you're involved in it. And we saw this somewhat on the first side of the flag pass when we took it from Speed Square, but after doing it for a year and like having that as you know, a big part of like what your F3 journey is, you know, it was really gratifying, like to see the number of people that came out to the flag pass when we gave it to those guys. And I know like for most of the people in the group there, it's just like, it's just another Monday. Like, let's get out of here. Like, we got our weeks to get started. I want to get to coffee, whatever. And you know, I'm sorry it took 5 extra minutes because we had some things that we wanted to say. But like, that's what fosters the leadership within the program, is that like people feel strongly about doing this, especially when you've had a year of being a leader. So those flag passes are pretty special, and we, I had a good time. I enjoyed the one that would.
But now that we passed the flag, that next Monday, you're like, now what?
Yeah.
Right. Know, that responsibility's gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now there's that void that you're trying to fill, figure out what are we going to do now that took up this much time? So we're still kind of working through.
Did you guys take a break from your site?
We did.
Yeah. I'm boycotting it. I'm still boycotting it.
Yeah, Clark hasn't been back. I've been back a few times, but Stormbreaker and Mission Forge and some of those other Monday sites we've hit up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is sort of a natural progression, right? Once a guy hands off his flag, we sort of see this like, now what, you know? And some guys will pull back and they won't come to F3 at all for months until they realize like, okay, I can go back, or you know, I don't. It's an interesting journey for every guy, but hopefully we can get you guys to keep coming out and not go find some, you know, don't join F45, right? That's all indoors. So you won't like that.
You bring up an interesting point about like guys who I see guys sometimes, or I talk to guys sometimes, maybe I'll run into them outside of F3, guys who I know from F3, and they'll say within like the youth sports organization, like my son, you know, he plays baseball, like Smores hears about it too much when we're talking about this kind of stuff at coffee. But, you know, there's a big community within that, or big, a lot of fellowship within that community too. And there's some crossover to F3, or if it's just like seeing somebody at Hy-Vee. And I've had multiple instances where I've run into somebody who I know from F3, but I haven't seen out there for quite a while. And we've all had this experience. And it's like, hey, how you doing? You know, what's going on? Like you've been out to work out? And I've heard like all a variety of answers. And sometimes I've heard like, nah, it's been a few months. I'm just been busy, haven't been able to get out. And I think sometimes guys feel like if they let it slip, that they can't come back. Like that they shouldn't. It's almost like they're ashamed and they shouldn't come back. And like my answer to that is like, absolutely not. Like that's like all the more reason to come back. Like right. There's nobody out there counting how long you've been missing. Right. Like nobody knows. Like, and if you come back and you put on 10 pounds, like we don't care. Like that's more reason for you to be back out and get started. And if you have to slow down and go back to, you know, square one, that's fine. Like there's going to be people there to help bring you along.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, you're talking about a phenomenon called dip, right? So people's activity, they come in, they're super hyped. They maybe take a leadership role, they step away, and then their enthusiasm kind of wanes over time. And that was the whole reason for the podcast. We want to get guys' stories out, but we also wanted to re-engage guys that were former leaders, try and get them there. I am curious from your guys' perspective, what do you think we can be doing better as a group for F3 to kind of combat that dip, keep guys engaged, keep them coming back?
What do you think, Smores?
No, you want me to take that? Okay.
Yeah.
I think we
hand that off.
Yeah, thanks.
I know how to run a podcast.
What are we calling them? So there's a new group of guys. Are they the Weasel Shakers? Is that what they're called? I think that's great. I mean, give them the names of people you haven't seen in a while. There's a group of guys that I really enjoyed working out with that I haven't seen in a while. I hand those names off to, I think, was it Barndoor that was the guy that was doing that? I can't remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he will take that information, start reaching out. Hell, we, as a former psych, if you don't see somebody on that site again for a while, definitely reach out. I think that's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
There's some guys that, there's one guy in particular that I EH'd. He showed up pretty hardcore in the summer, but then kind of fell off, and I noticed he hasn't been out in a while. So I actually, you know, shot him a text, said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, where you been? And he's like, well, you know, I'm a teacher. I'm also the band coach or whatever. And, I have to be at band practice at 5 a.m. So I'm like, all right, we'll see you next summer.
Right.
I think just that, it's as simple as just reaching out to these folks. And now with Paxton, I mean, we have everybody's number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's key, right? That there's no requirement for like how many days a week you have to post, or you know, like the sort of price of admission or membership it's free. Like it's still free. And so, one of the things that's, when I first started, I was a 6 day a week guy. Then we had our second kid and I was a 4 day a week guy. And now we've had our third kid and I'm 3 days a week. But nobody, like you said, Clark Kent, nobody's keeping track of that except for me. You know, like I'm the only one that's like, man, I want to get to 4 days or 5 days again.
You and Tater Tots keeping count.
That's actually him on the phone right there calling Pony.
He's questioning that right there. I'm keeping track.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. Definitely
You're 100% right. I mean, if I didn't show up for 2 weeks and I post a site, no one's going to question it because they're going to, you know, a lot of people will think I was just posting a different site. Right. Nobody knows your situation, what you've been doing. So it's not a big deal to miss a couple of days and not just come back.
Yep. We'll be excited to see you for sure, but we won't be.
Yeah, I just think like a little communication can go a long way.
Exactly. I agree.
You know, in any form, I mean, if it's encouraging someone to come to a workout, yes, but just to get a note from somebody, you know, just a quick text after you see them in a workout, if you haven't seen somebody for a while, or in cases where like, I know S'mores has mentioned this too, like if one of us has been on a queue or, you know, says something in a COT and you get a text later that day or the next day from somebody who was there. I've had this happen where somebody said like, hey, what you said like resonated with me and, you know, it made me think about this or, you know, it pushed me to be better at X, Y, or Z. Like in the moment, like I gave zero thought that I might be like impacting somebody, but, and, you know, this goes for everybody who it's not just like, I didn't have the ability to impact somebody more than anyone else, but yeah, just, like that means a lot to me just to get that little note. So I think it's the same way. Like if you haven't seen someone for a while, you don't need to dig into what's going on in their life. Just send them a note and say like, you know, coming to this site on Monday. We'd love to see you. Love to reconnect. Whatever. I mean, just a quick pat on the back can be all it takes to light that fire again.
Yeah, Clark, I agree with everything you said there, that after a COT, you get that text and someone says, yeah, they really resonated with what's going on with my life right now. That's huge. Another thing, I mean, I know I do. I don't know if I have, maybe I'm just not getting invited to the sites, but before I queue a site, I like to send out texts to a group of guys that I know that are usually at that site or some people that are close to the area saying, hey, I'm queuing the site. Love to see you come out.
Oh, that's cool. And that's a good idea.
Yeah, I try to do that too. But I think that helps as well, just that simple communication.
Yeah. No, I think that's good advice. And, you know, we're always trying to lean in and figure out ways. And I think that's just great advice for the guys to lean into. We're certainly appreciative of your time and your leadership. Before we break and kind of wrap this up, is there anything that you feel like needs to be said that we didn't get a chance to cover?
You know, I just kind of like would back up, would just to continue to reiterate what we were just saying about encouraging people. And like looking for opportunities to do that. I was thinking about this when S'mores was talking a minute ago. When my 50th birthday was coming up in December, I didn't advertise it. I wasn't like, hey, I'm gonna have this birthday, and like it's a big deal in F3 because now you can say respect. I wasn't gonna draw attention to it, and I planned to just kind of let it go by, and then the next time I worked out after my birthday, I'd say, you know, 50, and it was fine.
Respect.
Inside, I was kind of like, man, this is a big milestone. It wasn't like, you know, I turned 48, 49, like whatever, still in my 40s. 50 is kind of a moment, like, and you know, not like I was hiding in the corner with my head between my knees, but it's nice to have some support through that. So it came up in conversation at some workout somewhere in the weeks leading up to that. I don't remember what it was. Somebody heard me say 49 and asked me when my birthday was. And I was like, oh, it's December 6th. And so Vlasic heard it and he cleared his Friday that week at the quarry and called me and said, hey, I got that date open for you. I want you to come out and do a birthday queue. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. I'm like, okay, I will. And I did it. And a bunch of guys came out that he had invited from that respect group. And yeah, it meant a lot. Like I would have missed out on that, but like he took the initiative and did that for me. And that was great. And like it made that day mean something more for me. So even though I didn't know that it was necessarily that it was something that I wanted. So I would just say like as a final thought is like just take the initiative and you know be you know go outside of your comfort zone and whatever, you know, it's a cliche, it's like something I'd hear in a circle of trust, but just do nice things for other guys, you know, have their backs. And sometimes you probably don't know how much that means to them.
I love it. I think that's a perfect segue, kind of where we like to wrap things up, is getting just sort of like a, like for each of you, where's a place where you need encouragement? Like if we see you out there, maybe you guys listen and they're thinking about you, what's something that we could encourage you in?
Well, that's pretty easy. I spend a lot of time on my playlist for my beat down. So if you hear one, even if you don't like it, just tell me it's good.
Okay. We'll right? do.
No, I'm actually finding encouragement. I mean, I think the guys at F3 do such a great job already. I don't know if I could ask for
I'm happy with what I'm getting out of it. I don't feel like I need a whole lot of encouragement or anything else except getting up, putting those 2 feet on the ground at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Well, again, I appreciate your time today and just thank you for sharing your stories. We'll do a little name-a-rama. Let's do, I'll start us off and then let's end with, Clark Kent so we can all yell a big respect here. Brandon Fleehardy, 39.
The plague. John Whitworth, 33, Pony Express.
Pony Express. Nay.
Brian Lancaster, 47, S'mores.
S'mores.
Mitch Sherman, 50, Clark Kent.
Clark Kent, respect. That's got to feel good, man. You know, some of us, like, I'm basically going to be waiting 20 years before, you know, like, so I can't wait to, I'm going to let everybody
You're
know
like 45.
I got 20 years.
I love it. Well, thank you guys again for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Have a good day, fellas.
Yeah.